Pastor Tanya, welcome.
I just want to say that since we had Dave Ramsey series, it became our dream to become debt-free. It's not like we had a lot of debt, but we had some. And debt is like this heavy baggage that's always there, and it's there, and it's you can't enjoy. Even if when you buy something, you know that, okay, I'm doing something wrong. I should be paying that off. So it was always heavy, always that weight. And I'm proud and very blessed and very honored to say that we're halfway, more than halfway, you think? But halfway for sure. We paid off a huge chunk of what we owed, and I'm just grateful because it was not like very hard. I mean, we tried, and my husband worked really hard, but it was not like the devil makes it sound. He makes you think like, don't even try, don't even bother, don't even go there because it's too hard. You can't do it. And I'm here to tell you, yes, you can. Just try a little bit harder. Don't maybe buy something that you can't afford right now. And it's a great feeling. So if you're still in debt, I just want to give you that, you know, push. You can do it. And I just want to give praise to God that He helped us. And I pray that He helps us all the way to the end.
Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, men and women of all ages, let's get ready for Pastor Alex!
That's it. I'm going to suck now because that introduction. All the praise and glory goes to Jesus because I'm not that good. So I give Him the glory for whatever happens here today. How's everybody doing? Okay. Could you take away the highs from my microphone? There's a little too much. Anyway, we got an awesome church. I just loved last Sunday, how all of us got together and after church and had this potluck and kickball, and it was just so much fun. How many of you enjoyed it? Amen. Too bad for all the rest of you teams who didn't play with me and Alex Koval. You know, you had to go, you know, down a little bit, but the Lord humbled you a little bit. But it's not about winning, guys. It's all about having fun, right? Anyway, so it was just so much fun. I just love our church, how we all get together. And although some of you maybe didn't play, you enjoyed watching, right? I mean, after that game for 3 days, I was walking like this. Yesterday, we went riding jet skis at the lake, and man, jet ski gets it out of you. All of your energy, all your muscles are... And now I'm walking again like this. So, yeah. Anyway, God is good. Amen? He provided everything for us, so we can have a great life and great future. Amen? Amen. Today, we're continuing through the Bible on Book of Mark. How many of you know where we at? Mark chapter 1, okay? And if you missed the Sunday, we'll still be chapter 1. But isn't it fun to go through and just learn everything the Word of God has to say? You don't get to miss things, you know? You get to be balanced in the Word of God. So that's what I love about it. And then you kind of begin to see more of Jesus. You get to know Him better. Amen? So I'm just excited about that. We're going through this series right now called Jesus and Prayer. And today I'm going to talk about prayer and patience. Prayer and patience, okay? And there's many scriptures in the Bible, but before we get there, let's read our scripture for today. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 39. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 39. Hallelujah. You ready? Amen. How many of you have a Bible? Could you please, like, pick it up? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All right, not bad. 9, 10. You didn't bring that one, did you? No. If you didn't bring a Bible, when you come in, there's Bibles usually somewhere in the back up there. So find one. They're all teared up, but it's okay. I think you can still find a Mark, okay? And if you are getting a phone, you can download a cool Bible on your phone. Because lately I've been reading all my Bible on the phone. Because at night my light could be off and I can't sleep. I turn on the Bible, I just read, and boom, gone. Seriously. If you have a sleeping problem, read the Bible in the middle of the night. God is good, man. Hey, to beloved He gives sleep. And you read the Word and you sleep. And you rest. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Let's read it. Now in the morning, Jesus, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed. And Simon and those who were with Him searched for Him. When they found Him, so He didn't hide Himself in heaven, He was just under a tree somewhere or a bush. When they found Him, they said to Him, Jesus, everyone is looking for You. But He said to them, Jesus said to them, let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And He was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So this is the story. Jesus comes to Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law is sick with fever. Jesus raises her up and she begins to serve them. By that same day, by the evening, people with all kinds of disease and demon-possessed were brought to Him, and Jesus had a revival in that little town. It's about 500 people, maybe 1,000 at the most. So it wasn't a big town. And it went late. It was pretty late, Jesus was healing people. People were excited. Now next morning, what do you think people are going to do? You think they're just going to forget about what Jesus has been doing? No, they didn't forget about what He was doing. They sent His disciples and said, where's Jesus? We need Him here. We like being around Him. He makes us feel good. And so disciples were like, Jesus, they need You. They need us. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They need us. So they think that Jesus is going to be moved by a need. I said something. And I don't know if I want to go there. That's going to be off my message. No, I'm not going to go there. Jesus was not moved by a need. Thousands, I'm going to try. Hundreds and thousands of people in this world have a need. He's not moved by a need. We need You, Jesus. Yeah. He's moved by our faith. And He's moved by the will of God. There's a lot of need in this world. And if you try to fulfill every need, you might miss your call. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be gracious. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be thankful. Doesn't mean you should be compassionate and things like that. We should be. But notice, they needed Him and He left them. Some of us, how can He do that? What kind of pastor is He? That's not very pastorly of you, Pastor. I'm repeating somebody's phrase. Don't try to be more compassionate than Jesus. You can't be. So don't act all compassionate. Jesus is the most compassionate person. And yet He still leaves them and goes and preaches. He says there's other people. Now the interesting thing is, the revelation that He gave to me was this. The ones who truly fell in love with Him will leave everything and follow Him. The ones who are bloodsuckers, time suckers, who steal your time, who get you out of the will of God, that's all they are. The ones who love Him will follow Him. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not going to make you walk the way. I am the way. If you want to walk the way, Start walking. Keep walking. But you won't knock down our wall. Keep walking. But it isn't gonna fall. It's plain to see that you're small. Keep walking. But it's never gonna fall. Okay. That's a little VeggieTale. How many of you like VeggieTales? All right. I had a season in my life where, you know, we were watching VeggieTales, and it was a cool song. Some of you are going to have kids. You're going to know it too, so don't worry about it. There's four types of responses to the preaching of Jesus. Today, in a Jesus' day. You might have heard the parable of a sower sowing the seed. Well, how many type of grounds is there? Four. Tell me. First, rocky ground. Second, on the road. Third, thorny. Fourth, good soil. So when the word of God is preached, doesn't matter who's preaching, Jesus, me, or you, four types of responses. Watch this. One seed falls in a shallow ground, Bible says. And the sun warms it up and it starts growing. But it doesn't have a strong root. And what usually happens to a plant that doesn't have enough water or enough soil? Withers. Now Jesus could have stayed and did what? Water it. Oh, please don't die. Oh, please don't die. And he would have spent his calling watering something that has no root. So you see why Jesus didn't stay? There's other soil, a thorny soil. As the seed started growing, thorns started growing. Jesus could have been pulling out those thorns. But he didn't. There's also by the wayside, meaning on the road. And the Bible says the birds came and ate it up. Jesus could have been a scarecrow. Get out of here, birds. That seed wasn't going to grow. It was just going to lay there. See, Jesus didn't stay there to protect. But the good soil was going to grow no matter what. So see, Jesus is not uncompassionate. He just knows the time and how important it is. Do you know that Jesus didn't have all the time in the world? When you become a human being, you are subjected to the time. And that's why the Bible says, be careful, watch the time, because the days are evil. You got to be careful. You don't have all the time in the world. Today you can be in the right place at the right time. But if you were late, you could be in the wrong place in the wrong time. Are you getting this? So there's soil, and the kind of soil will determine. Now, how do you know what kind of soil you are? Well, you keep following Him. You keep coming. So I got to think that you're good soil, that I'm a good soil. I love Him. Guys, if you meet a girl and you fall in love with her and she's the one, but then you don't see her again, what would you do? You would want to follow her. You would want to call her, text her, at least text her, please, hey. If she's beautiful and if you fell in love with her, I mean, every girl is beautiful. Help me out here. Guys, and if she's a Christian, she's even more beautiful. When you see something you fall in love with, you try a cake and you love it and you're just like, I want it again. I don't care what I got to do. Even things that hurt you, if you fall in love with it, you'll want it. Help me out. Same principle with Jesus and Christianity. Jesus came and he showed himself. He showed the beauty of his, not character features or whatever, but the spirit. The healing that he produced. And he said, I got to leave. If you want to follow me, find me. Because remember, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me, because I'm not far from each and every one of you. First, he seeks you. But then he says, why don't you come and seek me? See, nobody came to Jesus because we were seeking him. It's the opposite. He was seeking you. But once he found you, he showed you how beautiful he is. He says, no. Follow me. And a lot of us, oh, I felt so good before I became a Christian. And now it's so hard. Yeah, go seek him. That's why we come to church, so we can seek him more. So we can learn more about him. That's why we pray daily. That's why we read the word and read Christian literature, so we can know more of him. It's not enough just to hear Jesus. A lot of people in that town, Bible says the whole town came to him. They heard him. But when he left, how many of them followed him? We don't know, but not many. And there is a scripture in the Bible when Jesus said, you're seeking me because I turned water and bread into multiplied breads and fed you. He said, seek higher than the bread. Help me out. Amen? So a lot of times you could be, and this is practical, trying to help a person. And they just don't want to help. And you're wasting time. You're getting frustrated. And sometimes because of our own pride, we're trying to save somebody. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. Don't be too proud. Say, that person is going to be saved because I'm going to make sure they're saved. No, you can't save anybody. He and His Holy Spirit can save. Can save. I've been in places of wasted time trying to save somebody, and they're just, bless you, and they're just thorny ground, and you can't. But there's been moments when I would just let go. I would just be so tired of a person, I'd just let go, and God would bring him back. So you never know what God is going to do. We don't do it. Listen, we don't save people with our own strength, wisdom, ability, money, whatever it is. We can't save anybody. God saves them. We speak the word, we sow the seed. Their type of ground determines how they're going to do. And some, we've seen this in our church before. Some that fell in the shallow ground starts growing so fast. We've seen people grow fast spiritually and then gone. And Jesus wouldn't commit himself because, how many of you read through the first chapter of Mark yet? What happens next? He heals leper. Why? If he would commit himself to those people, he would be wasting time. He would have missed the next opportunity God had for him. He would have been frustrated like we are because we're just stuck in one place and we don't want to go. Listen, New Life Church has to be church without walls. We have to stop making this place a place of growth. We have to be like Jesus. I myself have to stop just relying to preach to you. We have to go farther. We can't just be around the same people. I mean, we love one another. We're family, but we got to spread our roots. We got to go deeper. We got to go further because you don't know what's waiting for you. Something is waiting for you. And guess what? God revealed it to Jesus in prayer. So that's how important prayer is. Now, what is prayer? We're getting back to prayer because I'm kind of got off the subject. What is prayer? Prayer is a communication tool that allows us to talk with God. Do you know that every human being has a prayer machine or a thing in your brain or in your heart? Because as soon as you close your eyes or don't even close your eyes, as soon as you focus on God, that's prayer. Remember last week I said it's like a Bluetooth in your spirit. Just boom, connects. Prayer is a communication tool. Now prayer is even more than that. Do you know that unbelievers also pray? Help me out. When they're in trouble, yeah. But they pray. How could it be? See, prayer is a human ability that God gave to us in the day of our creation. Adam and Eve were communicating with God through prayer. Now, how many of you know that we only use part of our brain now? Imagine if you could use your brain to fullest capacity. I mean, your prayer would be so real, you probably would be able to see God. Have you ever shot a bullet? Do you see it fly? Why? Why? Your eyes can't see it. Why? Because your brain processor is what? Have you ever had a computer that was slow? And you were trying to watch a movie and it was going... You missed things. Why? Because it was too slow. Our brain capacity, people, is only at best 10%. Imagine 100%. We could see that bullet flying. Matrix. How many more colors are out there than the light spectrum? There's so much more colors that we don't see with our eyes. Why? Brain. Adam and Eve was able... Adam and Eve was able to communicate with God. But as the sin entered into their life and virus, what do you call it, contaminated their body and their spirit, they became blind. Sin makes us blind. Why shouldn't you commit sin? Not because God hates you or I hate you, because it just makes you blind. I talked to Lavar many, many times before, and we talked about this a lot. Why don't you go and do something stupid? Because you block your blessing, right? You become blind. You just don't focus right. You don't see things right. You see the world, how the world makes you see it, not how God wants you to see it. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's get back to the prayer. So right now, prayer... The reason it's so hard is because our mind is contaminated by sin. Although we're redeemed from sin by faith, it still lives in us. We still fight it every day. You fight with one thing, I fight with another thing. We all fight with something. And really, there's two parts. Can I teach as a pastor some pastory stuff? There's two parts to Christian life. There's two ministries that we all experience. There's one ministry of restoration and ministry of prevention. If you were to think about our church, what is our church? Restoration or prevention type of a church? Prevention? Prevention. Why? Because what we preach, like a doctor. Let's say a doctor would come to you and say, okay, if you eat this type of food, that could give you cancer. If you do these type of behaviors, so don't do them, please. Right? But people, as people, are going to go and do it anyway. You still drink Diet Coke or Red Bull or whatever. Right? We people. So when prevention didn't work, which is a better part, guess where ministry of restoration comes in? Right? Prevention, of course, is better because you never have to experience it. And it's actually easier than restoration. Let me tell you, what's easier, to say no to drugs when you never tried them or to say no to drugs when you're addicted? Help me out. What's harder? Restoration is harder. See, some of us, we just think, that it's going to be easy. God forgives. Yes, God forgives. But restoration takes time. God loves. Yes, but then He has to restore. And you still have to say no. Some of us, God is just going to deliver me and that's it. Yeah, He will. He does. As soon as you pray, He does. But restoration is going to take a little bit of time. So let me tell you. Our ministry is not just prevention. It's restoration as well. New Life Church is a church, and obviously we've been disbalanced. And what is balance? Can you ever have perfect balance? No, it always goes like this. You try to balance out, but you never have a perfect balance. You just, trust me. Okay. Anyway, even when you walk on your leg, right? You don't walk. You have this balance a little bit. So we have this balance. And as a church, we've been disbalanced. We've been all prevention. And it's good, because if we teach against divorce, if we can prevent divorce, it's better than to restore a family. It's easier, right? It's better to have you never tried drugs or do drugs than to try to restore you. Because you could be, rehab is hard. Usually never works the first time, right? However, our God has given us a ministry of restoration as well. That's what the Bible says. And prevention. What kind of doctor would I be that I would say, well, go ahead, go get AIDS and then come back and I'll fix you up. Come on, help me out. That would be stupid, right? However, if a patient comes, a doctor by law cannot deny treating him. Pastor by law cannot deny treating you. A church by law cannot kick you out. You've probably heard of religious churches that says, okay, once you messed up, you're out. No, you're not out. You're just going to be restored. And yes, you're going to go through some more stuff, but we're not kicking you out. You're not going anywhere. We're going to help you get healed. Amen? So do you understand restoration versus prevention? Okay, what's better? Restoration, prevention? Prevention, right? But if you do fall, and listen. All of us do fall. All of us. Listen, if you might not be doing something, drinking, getting drunk, going around. You could be jealous. You could be greedy. And Bible puts you on the same level. You could be a drunkard. It's all on the same level. So don't you dare put one sin over the other. Some of us have to repent from our sin. Others have to repent of our religiosity. I'm going to repeat it. Some of you have to repent from your sin. Some of you have to repent from being religious. What is being religious? I don't do that sin. And religion is a spirit of pride. And after you've been a Christian for a long time, religious spirit love to attack old Christians and settle in on old Christians. So do you remember when John the Baptist preached? He said, repent. And what type of people got angry at him? Pharisees. Why? Because they were religious. They were self-righteous. And he told them to repent as well. Remember, I preached about this. So to one of you, it's repent of your sin. To one of you, repent of your pride. I don't do that. I don't do that anymore. I'm good. I don't smoke anymore. I don't drink anymore. I don't, watch porn anymore. And then you puffed up and you're like, oh yeah, look at me. And God says, repent. Because the Bible says, if you stand, be careful that you do not fall. And as soon as you start saying, oh, I don't have any more problem with this. I don't have any problem with women. I don't have any problem with lust. I do. I was at the lake yesterday, man. Jesus. I'm honest. I told my wife. I mean, it was so packed. Two guys got into an accident yesterday. Let me tell you a story. We're sitting in a restaurant eating. About 15 to 20 girls in their bikinis, about 18-year-old, walking right by Okoboji on the big road. How many of you been there? Walking around, waving to everybody. What are they doing? Showing things. There is a traffic, right? A van, Odyssey, Honda Odyssey. Full of kids, young kids. Another car behind, a Jeep, Cherokee, older model, heavy duty. These two young guys, 17, 18, got so carried away with this show here, he didn't even brake. He just ran in straight into the van, right in front of us. The guys were so embarrassed. And I felt so bad for them, because if I were there, I don't know what I would do. Now, I wouldn't lust, but I would look maybe once. Help me out. I mean, guys, can you please help me out here? And my wife was asking me questions yesterday. What do you think? And I said, I don't think, you know, I look and I don't think, you know. But these guys were so embarrassed. And our waitresses were talking. And they're like, man, those girls, look at them, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, you should take them to jail. Give them a traffic violation ticket just for, you know, walking there and being a distraction to the motorist distraction. These guys were so embarrassed. And the guy who was driving in a van with his wife, he was actually sitting in the passenger seat, got out and started calling him an ass. And these guys are, you know, skinny little 17-year-olds, you know. And this guy is huge and big, about 40-year-old, you know, and calling him, man, they didn't even stop. So we're all struggle with things. That's what I say. Guys, we struggle with things. Girls, we struggle with things. So don't just look at men and say, pigs. What kind of romance are you reading, missus? Huh? For men, what's for men for his eyes? That's for women in the book, in romance. You don't need pictures. It's all literature. We all struggle with things. We're imperfect. Paul says, the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. And the things that I do want to do, I'm just not able to. Prayer. How many of you want to have a better prayer life? How hard it is. Very hard. How many of you want to fast for 10 days? Yeah. How hard is it? Impossible almost sometimes. And you know when, if you do it, you're going to be so farther up with God, but just, man, I just don't have the strength. That's why the Bible says renew yourself. Renew your mind. Hallelujah. So we have restoration in new life, and we have prevention. If you haven't done it, we want to prevent you from doing it. Just trust somebody else's experience. You know what they say? The wise man learns from somebody else's mistakes. A normal man learns from his own mistakes. A fool just never learns. So learn from somebody else's mistakes. If somebody's been through bankruptcy, why would you want to go through bankruptcy to find out how it feels? Why don't you just learn from them? Somebody been through divorce, why would you want to learn from, you know, from your own experience? Just learn from them. It's hard. Listen, as a husband and as a father, it's hard to do one family. Right? It's hard to take care of one family and kids, one family. Imagine have to take care of more than one. We were just not created. Yeah, it could be done. God will help. But it's better to prevent it. However, if you went through divorce or anything like that, God will give you strength. And you should be not on defensive, like, don't you dare, Pastor, preach about divorce because I've been through it and you make me feel guilty. Then you're not forgiven yet. You haven't received forgiveness yet if you're feeling guilty. You should be supporting and yelling, amen, Pastor. I know how hard it is. I know how bad it is. I want to help as many people not to go through this. See, if you say God is going to use you to help other people, He's not going to use you to lead more people into bankruptcy and then help them out. No. He wants to use you to help other people not to go through the things you went through. Who am I preaching to? Everybody. Thank you. So restoration and prevention. Somehow, church, I end up preaching more of prevention. Why do you think? It's easier. Just never, never, never. But it's not that I don't love the restoration.
I do love the restoration. But restoration is, a person has to be willing. Prevention is, and Paul says, some save with fear. This is scare some people from not doing stupid things. He does. Read your Bible. Some with comfort and restoration type mode. So the Bible is balanced. Anyway, prayer. Can we get back to prayer, patience? I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. How many of you know Elijah? How many of you know the Bible says that Elijah prayed and heaven stopped giving rain for 3.5 years? I'm actually just reading through Elijah. And interesting thing that I found was that Elijah was a man of patient prayer. Okay? How many of you ever read about Daniel? Bible says, and can we go to Daniel and look at some examples? Let's look at patient prayer. Before we do, I want to tell you a story that's going to set this thing up. And this story has been hunting me for, it's my personal story, it has been hunting me for years. Daniel chapter 10 verses 2 through 4 and then verse 12. Okay, we'll read it in a bit. But I want to tell you a personal story of me being 10 years old that perfectly fits into patience and prayer. I was working one Saturday at my uncle's farm. Some of you heard this story many times, yes. And they had a sewer container that was in the ground. And what happened was, when you wash up all the pig stuff that you had to wash up over the winter, it all ran down into the sewer. And it stood there all winter. Manure, all that stuff. And it was, and since we didn't have a pumps that would suck out that stuff, you know, like here we have septic engines that suck up that stuff. Okay? Anyway, we didn't have that. So every spring, it would just get full. And it would be like, I don't know, maybe 10 feet deep. And so what we would do, Uncle would open that thing, and we would have buckets. And you dip the two, like about 4-gallon buckets. And you would take it and carry it in and spread it in the field. You had to walk about maybe 300 feet with that stuff. You stink. And so they invited me to help, and they promised me. My cousins were big into fishing tanks. And they loved having fish. And they would sell them, you know, breed them and sell them fish. And they said, I'll give you some fish if you help us. And I wanted one. And all I had was like a gallon glass jar. That's where I was going to keep the fish. So I brought my jar with me, and I was helping him all day. After about 5:30, 6:30, my cousin, his name is Victor, he needed to go to choir practice at church. So suddenly he just went to, took a shower, and ran into church. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, just finish up and I'll take care of you later. And me being a very impatient person, I was like, man, I worked here all day. I was carrying buckets of poo. I mean, just buckets of it. I'm stinking. I'm like, I'm going to get my fish today, now. So I go to his tank. He had a huge, beautiful, like all over the wall type thing, fish tank. And I started, I took that net thing and start catching fish. It was beautiful before I started. It was a mess. The plants that were planted in the rocks were upside down on top. Some fish I couldn't catch with the net, so I had to use my hands to help. Some fish died, but I got my 3 or 4 fish. And I went home happy, you know. Didn't even think about nothing. When I got home around 9:30, my cousin calls me, and he was a panic type. He still is. I'm going to kill you! Calls me on the phone, and we live not too far. Oh, Sashka, I'm going to kill you. He called me Sashka.
from Sasha. That's a nickname. I'm going to kill you, he says. I mean, and he's crying. He's panicking. And I'm like, oh, shoot. He hangs up, calls again. Hangs up. Talks to my mom. His dad calls. He says, man. He said, they had a 10-gallon round circle fish tank. And they had all the stuff for it. They weren't using it. And they said they were going to give me. He said, if you would have waited a few hours, we were going to bring to you a fish tank, all the stuff for the air pump, the greenery things, and fish, because you work so hard. But because what you did, you're going to bring the fish back that you got in my gallon, you know, jar. And he said, you're going to have to pay for what you've done, because I broke a lot of stuff. I mean, and I made a mess in there. Since then, every time I'm impatient, and that's why I think I've been able to stay in a church of such small church that we have, and we used to like have like two rows. I mean, we used to have 10 people come to our service. And I was always, every time I wanted to quit, I would be like, God, and he would remind me, remember this story? Don't quit or do something stupid before I can bless you. And that's why I was able to hang in there. That's why I was able to stay in the same business for 14 years. And before that, I was able to stay at jobs for a long time because I just know that if God told me to be here, if God told me to do this, that I got to do it. I got to follow His will. Do you remember King Saul? 7 days he was waiting for Prophet Samuel to come before to sacrifice. And 1 hour he didn't wait. He did sacrifices. Samuel comes and says, your kingdom has been taken from you. You're not a priest. You have no right sacrificing. You didn't wait 1 hour. I would have established your kingdom today, and your children's children would be sitting on the throne. But now I'm taking away your kingdom, and I'm giving to a man better than you. God called David better than Saul. Guys, life is hard. But if God told you to do that, don't quit. Because you could quit, and an hour later, somebody else reaps the reward. I don't ever, and I'm so glad at 10 years old, and this is an embarrassing story, I have to tell you. But at 10 years old, God did that to me, and it's been engraved on my heart for the rest of my life. I remember details, probably smells. It was like a revelation type thing. Hallelujah. And so, let's read Daniel. And we're almost done. How many of you enjoying this? This is more like pastoring right now. I'm pastoring you guys. All right? Hallelujah. Pastoring. In those days, Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks, 21 days. He ate no pleasant food. No meat, no wine came into his mouth. Nor did he anoint himself. He stank. Till three weeks have passed. He was in prayer. Now, Daniel was praying for his nation Israel. 70 years have passed since Israel was taken into captivity into Babylon. Now, the king has been changed. Used to be Nebuchadnezzar. Then his son, what's his name? Baltazar. And then Darius now. Darius is the guy whom Alexander the Great fought 2 times and defeated him twice. And eventually his own servants killed him. But Alexander the Great gave him a great funeral because he respected him for some reason. Although he beat him twice. Anyway, let's keep going. So, Daniel is in prayer 21 days. Let's skip ahead to verse 12. Let's go 10. Suddenly, as he was in prayer, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. So watch this. Daniel is praying, and something touched him. And he's standing like this. So he's on his knees and in the palms of his hand. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. So Daniel is seeing a man, and he's not a human, but yet he's a man looking. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God." So in prayer, we humble ourselves before our God. In the morning when you wake up, you have thousands of thoughts running through your mind. Amen? And what do you want to do? The last thing you want to do is pray. You are having your own thoughts. Nobody thinks about, okay, God, what do you say today for today? Okay? And so he said, the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. So listen to this. 21 days, Daniel prays, nothing. But in the spiritual world, his prayer was heard when? The first day. An angel of the Lord, Gabriel, I think, was dispatched the first day to help him. Listen to this. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of your chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the later days. For the vision refers to many yet days to come. Listen to what happened, people. Daniel prays. One day, God hears him. But no answer. So he continues to pray patiently for 21 days. Remember, the angel was dispatched from heaven the first day he prayed. What happened in between? The battle. Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So prayer, and the reason we have to be patient in prayer, is because there's wrestling happening. The angel of the Lord could not come to answer Daniel's prayer because there was a warfare happening. And as Daniel continued to pray, reinforcement came. The princess of Persia was not defeated, but somebody else came to help. And Daniel was able to receive his answer. A lot of times what we do, we're not patient in our prayers. We pray, but then we think, oh, God didn't answer. I'm going to do it my way. And we mess up God's will for our life. Do you remember Elijah? There was no rain for 3.5 years. He said to King Ahab, go, there will be rain today. He goes on the mountain and he prays 7 times. Actually, he prays for hours till his servant runs down to the ocean to look if there is a cloud. Comes back, nothing. 7 times. That could have taken 7 hours. And as he was praying on the 7th time, Bible says that God answered the prayer. And it started pouring so hard that King Ahab was going to be stuck in the mud with his chariot and horses. So Elijah, old man, Bible said, ran to King Ahab, ran in front of his horses and started running in front of him, old man, while King Ahab was following his lead. A patient prayer were righteous availeth much. God wants us to pick up prayer in our church. He wants you to have better prayer life. Imagine praying and God answering. Wouldn't that be cool? A lot of times we read of wars being stopped by prayer. Mouth of a lion being guarded from eating man alive. We see women receiving their husbands who were dead alive. Prayer. And we think it's some stories. Bible says God wants to do it in our life. We just got to be patient in our prayer.